Romans chapter 1, one of the most solemn and sad passages in the Bible. I've been here several times as a preacher, and I preached on it. And let me tell you, Romans chapter 1 through 3 tells us why we need to be saved. We're condemned sinners on our way to hell. All are without excuse, Paul told the church at Rome. But as I look at this passage tonight, when a nation turns its back on God, you know, what's going on in America right now? What's causing it? Well, we can try to blame it on Antifa. We can blame it on BLM. We can blame it on the Republicans. We can blame it on the Democrats, the radicals. We can blame it on the Supreme Court. But it goes deeper than that. And Romans chapter 1 tells us why. Our nation. When a nation abandons God, God will abandon that nation. When a person abandons God, God will abandon that person. So let's look at our text tonight. Chapter 1, 18 through verse 23 tells us what's really going on in our nation. And I want y'all to listen to me closely. God's condemnation on rebellious humanity is nothing more than the natural consequences of suppressing God's truth, rejecting God's revelation, and perverting God's glory. That's what the nation is guilty of today. Suppressing God's truth, rejecting God's revelation. And we're talking about his word, right? I told you about the pastor in some church, apostasy church in Nashville this morning. I told you about how he doesn't believe the word of God. And so I'm telling you what's happening in our nation is they have suppressed the truth. They know there's a God. But they suppress the truth for a lie, and I'll tell you what that lie is in our text in a few moments. Reject God's revelation and pervert God's glory. You see that all in the battle of the sexes and transgenders and homosexuality and lesbians and a man and a woman. You see all that. You know, America has perverted God's glory, and that's what's happening in our nation. God acted to abandon people to expressions of corrupt lifestyles that deserved God's wrath and the sentence of death, Romans chapter 1, verse 32. Now, three times in our text, in verses 24 through 32, we see the word, God gave them up. Twice, God gave them up. Once, God gave them over to a depraved mind. God gave them up. Another way of saying that is God abandoned them. Okay? And what's really happening in our nation, God removes the restraint and allows sinners to reap the just fruits of their rebellion. And you see unrestrained sin today in our nation. And God is saying, okay, you have perverted my glory. You have rejected God's revelation. You have suppressed my truth. Therefore, I'm going to turn you over to your sin, and your sin is your judgment. That's it. That's what's happening in our nation. That's what Romans chapter 1, verse 24 through 32 says. Robert's word picture says, these people had already willfully deserted God, who merely left him to their own self-determination and self-destruction, part of the price of man's moral freedom. Man, lost man, having freedom in his morality, will always regress. He will never progress, right? Okay? He'll always go down. There is no such thing as evolution, but what's happening in our world today is de-evolution. Men is not growing closer to God, they're getting farther away from God, okay? And that's what's happening in our nation. That's what's happening. We can blame it on whoever, blame it on Satan, blame it on whoever. And we know the politicians blame it on Trump. But he's not part of the reason. God put him in the White House for 4 years to make a difference. And they suppressed the truth. They perverted God's glory and denied his revelation. Three times we see that word abandoned. When people abandon God, a person or a nation, and if you don't believe me, you look in the scriptures, God will punish a nation. Yes, he punished his people, Israel, but he also punishes other nations who pervert his glory, reject his revelation, and suppress his truth. Okay? Now, you may walk away today. I know there's preachers that would not agree with what I'm about to tell you. They'll tell you that there's hope. There's coming a great revival. But I go by what Jesus said. He said, "Will I find faith when I come?" Men's hearts growing worse and worse. They're inventing sins. The smarter they get, the smarter the crime goes, right? And I'm telling you, folks, there's going to be a great revival in the tribulation period, but I'm telling you, God has placed his judgment upon this nation. Now, you could swallow that, you can take that, do it all you want to, but I'll preach that till I go to heaven, okay? I wish our nation would turn to God, but when you've been abandoned by God, it's something that can't be undone. Right, Brother Larry? Right, Brother Keaton? Amen. Amen, right? Right. I felt like I was pulling a string, and he was... Verse 24, they've been abandoned to fornication. Verse 26, we have been abandoned to sexual perversion. And verse 28, we've been abandoned to a depraved lifestyle. Let's look at these three quickly. Look in verse 24 and 25. Wherefore God also have gave them up. Why? Because 18 through 23 talks about the three sins that we are guilty of. Therefore God also gave them up, that's the word abandon, to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Notice that this nation has been abandoned to fornication. Verse 24 tells us one aspect of man's corruption was sexual extremes. I just can't believe what's going on in our nation today. And I've never seen it to this extent, okay? The frequency of live-in lovers and families and friends that approve of it, you know, see nothing wrong. And I tell you before, people, even Christians, will build whatever theology they got to build so their loved ones will go to heaven, okay? Wife swapping, adultery, homosexuals, lesbians, child predators. You think you've seen all that now? The 25,000 of them are fixing to come across the border. Child trafficking, group sex parties. All this only confirms the result of God's abandonment. They've been left to go the way of their sin. You don't want me and you want your sin? Here, you choke on your sin. That's what God is saying. Verse 24 tells us sex within marriage is a holy gift from God. Man has perverted it. And he has made sex impure. What God meant to be clean, they've made unclean. Notice that in verse 24 again. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Sex was designed to be in the marriage relationship, right? And today is, the Bachelor, y'all, I never watched it, I see it, you know, the Bachelor, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Open, flagrant, flaunting it in our face. Because I don't watch that. I can't go wrong by watching Gunsmoke and Andy Griffith, right? I mean, yeah, I noticed one thing about Matt Dillon, Brother Keaton, in his younger years when he first had the show, there would be three people dying on each show, right? He didn't take nothing from them, right? Get out of Dodge. And they say, you have no right. It's against the law. And he'll say, get out of Dodge. If they didn't get out, they'd be on Boot Hill, right? Before it was over. I don't know how I got off on Gunsmoke. But they degraded their own bodies by using them contrary to God's intent. What people today do to the human body and other human bodies, I just can't fathom it. I never dreamed that would happen. Notice verse 25. They rejected the truth concerning God and all truth. Man is a creation of God and can only find true fulfillment in worshiping and serving God as Creator. I'm about to say something here, and I want you to remember it. We're not here for our own pleasure. We are here to glorify God, right? That's what the Bible says. Verse 25 says they rejected God's revelation. And they believed a lie. What is the lie? The lie says that man can exist independent of God. It's called secular humanism. It started with a man named Nimrod in the Tower of Babel. We even see it in Daniel chapter 3 with the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel had told him the meaning of that dream, and he didn't realize that each nation is going to be corrupt and going to be defeated by the nation below it in that image, and that the stone would come and crush all of them, speaking about the millennial kingdom, the return of Christ. And so what did he do? When Daniel showed him the image, what it meant, he goes out and has them erect a giant 90-foot image of himself. Secular humanism. We don't need God. We have no place for him. We can solve all our problems, right? I don't know if you saw what's happening in Texas. That ought to be enough to tell you that man can't solve his problems, right? The same people that run the post office want to run national health care. What does that tell you? I hope you don't work at the post office today, but Brother Frank used to, but you know what I'm talking about, right, Brother Frank? All right, see? He knows what I'm talking about. The lie is that we don't need God. We can exist independent of God. We can solve all our problems. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but in the last 6 years, Congress has done nothing. Right? Anything got done, it was Trump. And they're not doing nothing now because they've been involved in impeachment. I didn't know how I'm getting off on this, but I just gravitate to it, right? Yeah, and now they're not through with him, right? Come on up here, Pamela. You help me preach this message. But they're not worried about us. They're worried about illegal aliens, bringing them in here and giving them full citizenship, health care, and everything else that goes well, taking our jobs and giving them to these illegal immigrants. I'm in favor of legal immigration, aren't you? But I'm not in favor of illegal immigration. So man cannot solve his problems. That's what I'm telling you, what's going on here. Now, we are abandoned to fornication. But secondly, we've been abandoned to sexual perversion. You say, well, preacher, you ain't talking about me. No, we're not talking about the church. We're talking about our nation as a whole. When a nation and its institutions suppress God's truth and they deny his divine revelation, and then when they pervert his glory, as a nation, the nation suffers. Okay? And that's what's happening. Okay? Secondly, we've been abandoned to sexual perversion. Look in verses 26 and 27. Again, I know if I was on Facebook with this, we may not even make it through it. But in verse 26, for this cause, what? God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which they meet, or which they did. Verse 26 and 27, God has abandoned us to sexual perversion. I don't know. I don't watch the commercials. Commercials are bad, right? And I see things on there they're trying to cram down our throats on a commercial. Commercial is a break to go to the refrigerator, right? Or the restroom. You know, it's really sickening what you see. But here in this, verse 26 and 27, we see the clearest teaching in the New Testament on the sin of homosexuality. They say, well, Jesus didn't condemn homosexuality and lesbianism. Well, you don't know God. You don't know your Bible, right? There are several great references in the Bible. You might wonder, I've given to you these in the past, but Genesis 19, 1 through 10. God did not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because they were inhospitable to the visitors. God destroyed them because of the sin of sodomy. And we lessened it, right? They took the sodomy laws off the books. They call it different things, sexual orientation. You have a right to love who you want to, right? And things like that. but God calls it sin. Leviticus 18:22, a man should not lie with a man. You know, that doesn't mean when you're boys you can't sleep on the bunk beds and stuff like that. He's not talking about that. And also in Leviticus 20:13, 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, 1 Timothy 1:9-10, and Jude 7. Two strong scriptures on biblical marriage, of course, are out of the mouth of Jesus in Genesis 2:21, and Matthew 19:4-6. A man marries a woman, right? But when you suppress God's revelation, you have what? You have men marrying men, and you have women marrying women. Something I didn't know, and I want to refresh your memory about this. 14 out of the first 15 Roman emperors were homosexuals, according to William Barclay. I can trust William Barclay. There are some things I can't, but I can trust him. You ever wondered why Rome came down? Julius Caesar, someone said, and I like this, Julius Caesar was every woman's man and every man's woman, you know? Notice verse 26 again. God gave them over to shameful lust or vile affections, literally passions of disgrace. This involved also, as the text states, both sexes engaging in homosexual instead of heterosexual relationships within marriage. God has created man and a woman in a heterosexual relationship, a monogamy relationship, and not, you know, there's some of God's animals that he created don't even do what man does, right? And then women deliberately exchanging natural relations with men in their marriage or unnatural ones with other women. Notice what he says in verse. Now let me say something right here. The homosexual community says, well, this does not talk about homosexual and lesbian relationships. He says that which is unnatural. So to them they say, well, if a heterosexual was to engage in a same-sex marriage or a lesbianism or homosexuality, that would be unnatural for them. But if two men or two women who were homosexuals, that would not be unnatural for them. That would be natural. I mean, I don't know what cabbage truck they fell off of with that kind of Bible interpretation, right? Verse 27, he says, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was lost. I will believe, and I will always believe, that AIDS came on the scene because of homosexuality, right? I believe that. But these men were inflamed with lust, sexual lust. And by the way, that word is so strong, it's only used here in the New Testament. And it's different from the lust that we see in verse 26. Words translated women and men in these verses are the sexual words females and males. And I've told you before, the big corporate box stores, everybody, all that, everybody's gone overboard for this. You know, it's called woke, W-O-K-E. And our nation has turned into a woke, even our military. We couldn't fight a war if we could to, because everybody's a sissy, right? They have sissified manhood, right? Now, contemporary homosexuals insist that these verses mean that it's perverse. Again, I told you before, I got ahead of myself. It is perverse for a heterosexual male or female to exchange in homosexual relations because it's not perverse for a homosexual male or female to do these things. It's natural for them. I got news for them. Even though I did go to Coolidge and I did go to Pavo, I know it's not natural, right? Men and women were built different. Right? That's what God told Adam. He says, he realized that Adam realized that he didn't have a helpmeet. He had nothing in common with what God had created already. And, you know, we're not even talking yet about bestiality and what they do with animals. And God knew right away they're not compatible. That's why he created Eve, right? And I'm telling you, it's I can go into it because I have a brother who's one, and I know what goes on, right? Now, don't go out of here and say, well, Brother Ken watches his homosexual brother with his partner. No, I don't, right? But I know what goes on. I'm not ignorant in that part. I know how they do it, okay? This is a PG sermon tonight, okay? Parental guidance. So, Linda, you may have to leave. But this estranged exegesis. Exegesis means pulling out of the text what it says. Okay? Unsupported by the Bible. The only natural sexual relationship in the Bible recognizes heterosexual one. And I can give you verses for that. But in verse 27, all homosexual relations constitute sexual perversion are subject to God's judgment. You know, they say that we are unloving and we're fundamental bigots because we actually believe that the Bible teaches this, right? And I'm telling you, I love my brother, but he has been abandoned. And his lust, God has turned him over, right? And there's no help for him. And that's what makes it so sad. These lustful, indecent acts have within them the seeds of punishment, their due penalty, the Bible says. And I believe, let me stop here and tell you, I believe there have been five horrendous Supreme Court decisions that have doomed our nation. Now, I'm not even counting the one with the monkey trials, with the creation and evolution. Separation of church and state. You know, they have it where we should have freedom of religion, not freedom from religion, right? I mean, we should be able to worship our God. That's ordained from us from God, okay? Now they have it where we can't talk about God in schools or God in this institution, and even now God in the church, right? And I want to tell you something. The church should have always been involved in politics, involved in our society, making a difference, being salt and light, right? But they have it now where you can speak about your God in your church house, but don't get outside your church house. You know, it's amazing. Separation of church and state. Another one is Roe versus Wade. When I stood there at that funeral of that little baby this morning, and I went up to Brother Pravat and talked to him about it, I encouraged him today. It's a very difficult thing to do, a child's funeral. I've done one in Valdosta when I was pastoring in Nadel. It's a very sad thing. But what is sadder is when the parents are unbelievers. Now, that's not the case in this one, but when I stood there at that graveside, along with a lot of other people, I was thinking a lot about, listen, this couple wanted to have a baby. They had two. All the 62 million babies that were killed in the mother's womb, and this nation has legalized it, right? And they even stand up and applaud in New York legislature when they said that they could kill babies when they got outside the womb, and stand up and applaud. You know, it just grieved my heart, you know? And I talked to Don about that, and he agreed with me. Another one is same-sex marriage, when the Supreme Court says that men can marry men and women can marry women. See, I can't get up here and fume and run and holler because this is a very solemn passage. You know, and there's going to come a day. I mean, it just hasn't happened yet. They may be already talking about it. I don't know. But you're going to have a woman marry her cat. You're going to have a man marry his dog, right? I mean, where do you stop with sin, okay? And I agree, a dog would be nicer to you, right? Okay? But it's coming, folks. We may say, no, it's coming, because sin always goes down, right? And then another one is partial birth abortion that I mentioned, killing the baby outside the womb. It's not enough to kill them in the womb, now they can kill them outside the womb. And boy, when I look at little Sophie, when her mother brings her after I come back to house and I see her, I thank God, thank you for these pro-life parents, right? I mean, I don't know. It bottles my heart out when I think about it. But our Supreme Court has aided it, right? Now, what do Christians do? I can't tell you how many Christians that claim to be Christians that say stuff like this, actually. I'm not their judge. What a cop-out. I'm not their judge. They say God made them that way. No, the scriptures tell us God did not make them that way. Some people say, well, you know, live and let live. Some people who claim the name of Christ even say to each his own, right? Some even say, I don't care what they do as long as they don't bother me. Well, my thing to you is you better, because it's an abomination to God and our nation is suffering because of it, right? When God abandons a nation or a person, they're abandoned to fornication, they're abandoned to sexual perversion, and then lastly tonight, they're abandoned to depraved lifestyle. Look in verse 28. And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, this is the third time that God says, you've abandoned me, and I will abandon you. Pagan humanity rebellion also included the rejection of the full knowledge of God. Remember the three reasons? You need to remember those I told you at the beginning. Why this world is in the shape it's in. Why this nation's in the shape it's in. They suppress the truth for a lie. They reject God's revelation. And they pervert God's glory. Right? God responding in judgment was abandoned to a reprobate or depraved, disapproved mind, a worthless mind, which expressed in itself in certain attitudes and actions. What they're doing is characteristic of the fact that they have a depraved mind. Okay? They're going to go to hell because they rejected God's revelation. Right? And what they're doing in our nation is just evidence of that unregenerate heart that they have. Right? Remember, God judges a nation by its institutions that have rejected God's revelation. In fact, that's what the world says. God has nothing to do with this. We can solve our problems ourselves. We're going to bring in a utopia. No, their utopia is not really going to be a utopia. It's going to be a sad state of affairs. A disapproved mind, worthless, expressed in verses 29. What does a reprobate mind look like? Well, we see in verse 29 through 32 characteristics of a reprobate mind. Remember, in Bible interpretation, read the whole text, and you'll see. He says in verse 28, they have a reprobate mind. What is that? Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit. Somebody pronounce that word for me. Malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Boy, howdy. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. A Christian is not going to win any rewards from the world. The world approves of its own. And they even have little things together where they approve of each other and give awards to each other, right? I remember years ago when the lineman for the Missouri, and I hate Missouri. I hate the football team, okay, in the SEC. Very, very evil people when they play a game. But a lineman came out as gay. The world put him on their stage at ESPN, and he won the Courageous Award. When did you ever think we would get to that point when a homosexual can come out of the closet and win a Courageous Award? Right? The one speaking out against the sin ought to get the Courageous Award, right? We're so backwards, folks. So we see here how lies show that they rejected God. 21 sins and their sinful desires, because they suppress God's truth, they rejected God's revelation, and they pervert God's glory. In verse 32, their lifestyle is the very defiance of God. Now there's coming a day when they'll see that they've made a mistake, when they stand before the great white throne judgment and they're cast into eternal hell forever and ever. But I'm telling you, I wish there was hope. But once God abandons them, that's the end of all hope. Right? Look at me. Okay. I was about to throw my neck out there, man. They know these things. They deserve death as they defy God. And we see this in the tribulation and the revelation. During the tribulation, people see that these judgments are from God, yet they still go forward and not repent, right? They know these things deserve death as they defy God and encourage others to do well. Now, there's a preacher that could come up behind me and tell you that there's hope, okay? There's a great revival coming. God's going to do a new work, but not the Bible I read. You see, once you've been abandoned, that's it. Once you've been locked out, that's it. Take Pharaoh, for instance. Pharaoh hardened his heart to God, then God hardened his heart, and there was no hope for Pharaoh. So is God judging America for killing babies and promoting what God calls an abomination and perversion of God's design for a man and a woman? Certainly. There's preachers that tell you he's not. Is what a nation reaps. This is what a nation reaps when they turn their back on God. I'm telling you, folks, if this is not happening and everything I told you is a lie, it brings into question God's character, right? No invitation tonight. Well, let's have an invitation. Our musicians come, if you will. Father, I did not want to preach on this text. I don't want to preach on hell. I must. There's great spiritual warfare going on when you get to Romans 1 and you get to the doctrine of eternal hell. But Father, tonight, I pray, what can we do about it? Well, we can continue to speak truth, share with people the gospel of Jesus Christ. We continue to speak up for truth about the roles of men and women in the family. We can get involved in groups that promote this. Lord, we don't sit back. We get involved like we're doing with Thomasville Pregnancy Center. We're helping them save baby lives. And as we help the Gideons to get the revelation of God out there, and as we do it personally, as we speak against the evils of our nation, Lord, I don't know why the church is so silent. We're, again, afraid of our nonprofit status. But Lord, if you study the church and the early church and you study, you see that the preacher spoke out against sin. So Father, tonight, I pray that we'll do the same. As maybe there's one here tonight that says, you know, I've never seen that in the scriptures. I understand what's going on. I've been one of those, let live and leave them alone. Let them do what they want to. But Lord, there ought to be a deep hurt in our heart for what's going on, not only personally, but for our nation as well. And I encourage our people to get a copy of this sermon so they can share it with people that are teetering on the fence. And I preach this out of love because my concern for people going to hell, nations being destroyed, Lord, but yet we know that America has to be on the wayside for the certain prophetic events to come about. So tonight, speak to our hearts about what we can do in the midst of this abandonment. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.